The Latin Lover, a pocket dictionary of the language of the Catholic Church, compiled by the Pope's own Latinist, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster.
One of your most recent jobs was to translate the new encyclical, Pope Benedict XVI's first encyclical. You translated it from what language? Italian?
Well, it's Italian, but you could see right away that Italian wasn't the original. I wanted to do it from German. The original was German, and you could see it right away, but they said, no, everyone's translating from Italian. So we're stuck with the Italian, but you could see the Italians don't like the Italian.
Hmm.
You see? And so anyway, we did it, and it's very short, 46.
So what's it called in Latin?
Deus Caritas Est, God is love, from St. John's first letter.
So why is charity translated into love? Caritas is in Italian.
Charity, I know.
Charity. There's a
Well, that's another story. He spends about 40 pages on the difference between eros, you know, like passionate love, and agape, spiritual love, and charity, and dilectio. Goes through all the words. Well, anyway.
Yes, but charity is
one thing.
Is one thing, and love is another. In English, the title is God is Love.
Yes, I know. The Vulgate. The Vulgate has caritas.
Caritas. So it's wrong to translate it as God is charity.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right at all. But, oh, that's the whole thing about love and love this and all that.
So anyway, what did you find hardest? Can I ask you what you found hardest?
Well, you find hardest is this modern, I would say the modern. I don't have nothing against what is modern, but it's this jargon that you have around. Got it? Like love. Love turns someone into a we. You know, love, you know, a love of our friend turns our friend into a, not into us, but into a certain we. Well, how are you supposed to say all this stuff? You know how people are talking today. That love would make a one person out of two. And so love of a friend, for me, turns us into a certain we. Oh! And you go on and on like this, where you can't, it's so impossible to translate some of this stuff. They just never thought that way. The Romans just never thought that way. You know? Or how I'm going to miss a little of my own ego. You know? Well, you have to say in Latin, my own person or something like that.
Ego is a Latin word.
Yes, I know, but there's no way to say it. If you say mei, well, that's a piece of me. But to say I'm losing a piece of me is one thing, and I'm losing a piece of my ego is another thing.
It's difficult because they're all concepts.
Yes, yes, and I'm going to say modern. I don't even like the word modern. But
you say it's modern jargon, no?
Yes, I mean
modern
talk.
Jargon.
Everyone's doing this. Theologians do this, you know, little pamphlets, and everyone's talking this way, and it's preachers. It's horrible. And I told the students the other day, we were reading St. Augustine. They were almost even tears of St. Augustine. It's so beautiful. I said, well, you have nothing to say. Just translate St. Augustine on the pulpit and sit down and shut up.
The modern jargon. How would you say that in Latin, modern jargon?
Yeah.
Modern jargon is horrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, horrible
is loquela, easy. Loquela, locutio. Ah, yeah, recensior locutio. Bene, initio, terribilis, vel horribilis, vel fugienda est.
But yet,
it's like in the newspapers, you know, everyone just talking around and, you know, gee, oh, it's terrible.
Yet you told me on another occasion that Pope Benedict the 16th is extremely aware of the Latin language.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's used it all his life.
And he's also notoriously fond of people like St. Augustine and St. Bonaventure.
Yes, 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 yes.
And so he has a soft spot, in a sense, for Latin.
There's no question about it.
For Latin. So how do you say Pope Benedict has a soft spot for Latin?
Yeah, yeah. No. De lingua latina tenere sentit. That would be nice. De lingua latina tenere sentit. He feels tenderly about the Latin language. Mm. That would be. That sounds nice. Tenere sentit. Well,
he changed it too, didn't he?
Whoa, yes.
Because you had...
We did it in October, November, but since October we were changing it this morning. Yeah, and so...
What were you changing this morning?
I mean, there are words that aren't right and the phrases weren't right. And
So how do you say fine-tuning Pope Benedict's Latin?
Oh, yeah, well, we're just going to say, yeah.
Well, it's not really his Latin. You're fine-tuning his encyclical.
What do you say, perficere?
His encyclical. How do you say encyclical?
Yeah, literas encyclicas. Tornare, to polish. Perpolire, to polish off. There is a nice one.
The word encyclical is encyclica. What did it mean to Romans, the word encyclical?
Well, it didn't mean anything. This is a church term. Actually, it's a Greek, of course. It's Greek enkyklo, which means in the circuit. So a letter that the emperors had encyclicals too. The letters that the emperors sent in a circuit throughout the empire was an encyclica, that's all.
So it really came from the Greek?
Oh, yeah, enkyklo. In the circle.
There were a few Greek words in this encyclical, no, like agape.
Yes, 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 and a few, I forget, koinonia.
So how do these words
well,
translate?
Well, they're all in the Bible, you see, and so we had to take kind of what the Vulgate gave us.
You used the word agape?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are you going to say? It's spiritual or, let's say, noble love.
And what's the other word you mentioned?
Diakonia, service. And koinonia was the communion, the community, koinonia. Well, those are all Greek words in the church, you see.
But you still use those words in Greek. You don't translate them into Latin.
No, I would do. I would put it, I would, you know.
So what's koinonia?
I would say, for example, like communitas or communio. And I'd put a comma and say, in Greek, koinonia.
Yeah.
To respect the original text. But I would tell the people in Latin, you have to say this.
And when it comes to agape?
Well, then it has to be caritas. And eros, of course, has to be amor. See?
It's a difficult word, eros, because it's taken on different connotations
in
modern languages.
Well, he has a long section on that. And he said, if you just leave eros, amor, the way it is, it's not going to do anything. Because he said, eros without charity is nothing. It's just passionate animal love. He says this. You got the idea. But that's the whole thing is, oh, around and around. I went, we almost went crazy with the thing.
Was there any Roman who wrote about love that way?
Well, not exactly that.
Not obviously, yes. You know, such as a theological.
Yeah, no, but Ovid,
sort of
Ovid, ooh, heaven's sake, Ars Amatorium, Art, and Amores, he wrote about love stories. He had all kinds of love stories.
Who's this?
Ovid, Ovidius. One of the most famous men in the world for love poetry.
But they were very immaterial, the Romans, when they spoke about love, weren't they?
Immaterial. Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't. Well, although they had noble sentiments. We were reading Seneca in class, you just can't believe it. And that's why I said during the Middle Ages, a lot of people thought that Seneca had been inspired by Christians. Because he has such noble things. Virtue is this, and without an adversary, virtue languishes. And God, and ooh, he has a whole thing about divine providence. He has a whole dialogue on divine providence. You can't believe it. Where God is talking to people, I'm punishing you or giving you hard things to do to make you strong and mature and all that. That's all in Seneca. Mm. And if you change the title and say St. Thomas Aquinas, ooh, they would accept it right away. Oh, the Romans had much more than we thought. People think they were stupid old, you know, like, you know, Hollywood orgy things. Well, they were not stupid orgy things.
So how does Seneca compare with the way St. Thomas Aquinas wrote Latin?
Oh, well, it's a different thing. Thomas Aquinas' school stuff, you know, kind of, you know, we would call it kind of on the spaghetti side. I mean, he was very functional. No, in school he talked that way and wrote that way just as it came out, but it would be, you know, just kind of without any kind of an idea of beauty and stuff, where Seneca has beautiful sentences, really, where he thinks of the effectiveness of Latin. Thomas was a different man and was doing something different.
St. Augustine, every day.
Oh, yeah. Although a lot of people say, and I agree, if people had kept St. Thomas, like, you know, Latin would be living today because it's very easy and functional, you see. All the classicists said, oh, no, it's so corrupt and deteriorated and everything else. And so they threw it out in the Renaissance and put Cicero in and Latin died. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I like St. Thomas. You have to be careful because he uses the Latin language perfectly.
It's more accessible to us.
Oh, yeah, and we were reading the other day, all the students were wild. We were reading St. Bonaventure. the sermons of St. Bonaventure at Mass, and a sermon that he gave to the nuns up in Assisi. Oh, it was so beautiful and neat and sweet, and they said, this is Frater Bonaventura's sermon to the sisters of St. Clara. So that kind of Latin is very, very excellent.
You've been listening to Latinist Professor Reginald Foster in a program presented and produced by Veronica Scaresbrick.